This is the Stick and Hack Show. Conversation, discussion, debate, and golf talk from a stick, Mike Ryan, and the hack, Adam Grubb. Boys, you are up.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome in to the Stick and Hack Show. I am your host, Adam Grubb, the hack. That's Mike Ryan, the stick.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm super.
Great. All right, so we're gonna let people behind the curtain here for a second, okay? So this is, if you're watching the show on Tuesday, it means the President's Cup has already happened. But for us, it hasn't, because we're taping this ahead of time. And so we know right now that the U.S. is down, and that's all we know, and that's all I can even say. And if you're watching this much later, none of this will matter, and nobody will really care.
Yes.
So do we even talk about the President's Cup? How do we do this?
We should, absolutely. I mean, up until now, what we know.
Right. What we know is that the U.S. Was down, and then they had a kind of a comeback one night, and JT, Justin Thomas, had an incredible putt.
Which was amazing.
Right. So everything is good. And here's what I want to talk about, what I can talk about with the President's Cup, which is the antics and the hype and the enjoyment. So on the first tee of the President's Cup, by the way, this is the most sophisticated golf show in the free world. Guess this show is CEO of Golf Kicks, Tyler Stewart, who you might have seen on Shark Tank. He is an entrepreneur and a CEO of a company, an upstart company that is changing the way that we even wear golf shoes and have the something that has been around for ages. He's changed and is changing the course of that. And we're excited to have him on the show and talk a little bit about his company, but also just about his love for creating. He's an inventor, an entrepreneur. And anybody that is on Shark Tank obviously has some credibility, just like anyone who's on Stick and Hack Show, automatically credibility is up. So we're looking forward to that. CEO of Golf Kicks, Tyler Stewart, on the show. So President's Cup, and this is something that I saw. Part of this is Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
But people, there's an atmosphere at these team events that it's unmatched in regular golf. People are yelling, chanting, singing on the tee box. It's kind of like the Waste Management Open a little bit, but just in this really kind of like almost soccer mentality of fans.
Yeah.
I think golf needs this every single weekend, that type of excitement and yelling and screaming and singing.
Yeah.
You?
No, I'm Ryder Cup, I think, is more intense than President's Cup, to be honest.
Agreed.
And if you have been following, they've kind of had to like get on the Australian fans to like be more boisterous,
right,
which is weird to me because Australians in general are partiers and they like are usually pretty loud and boisterous.
Yeah.
So, but they've kind of had to get on them. But I love it. I think it's one of those things that, like I talked to you about, I think if they could put together some sort of a match play tour that has teams that are like affiliated with cities, that type of thing, and you could have that type of atmosphere every time they play, I think it would be amazing.
Well, you have what is missing is the villain. What's missing is that I don't like that team. So
you're not supposed to cheer against anybody, that type of thing.
No. Somebody has a bad shot.
Yeah. Which makes sense when it's just individual.
They do that.
I get
it. Yeah.
Right. But when you can put the team aspect into it, it takes it to a whole other level.
It does. And it feels like an event. It feels like a sporting event. Golf doesn't feel like a sporting event week to week out at the Shell Houston Open. It feels just like I don't even know what it feels like. It doesn't. it needs to have a little bit more of that that excitement and that yelling.
Yeah. You know, aside from my opinion. Aside from the majors, like the week to week events don't have quite as much fanfare around them.
And
I think it'd be something that you could add to that as well.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. So and one of the things too is that Patrick Reed at this point has become the villain of the President's Cup.
Yeah.
He had an issue the week before. I think golf needs a little bit more of those villains. And you have your own personal villains.
Yeah.
But I think overarching, just in any sport, you know that you don't like the Yankees, or at least I don't. You don't like the Yankees. You don't like, I don't know, the Jets. The Patriots. The Jets.
Nobody cares about the Jets except
the Jets. Don't care about Jets.
Mike Greenberg. I think he's the only person on the planet that cares about the Jets.
Right. Nobody cares about the Jets. I meant the Patriots.
Okay.
That's a mistake number one on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your first.
Thank you. That's what people need. And I think, too, with the President's Cup and that mentality is more of that USA versus the world. You would think that that it would be much bigger than the Ryder Cup, and it isn't. Right. And I don't understand why it is. I don't understand why they're not like this. Should be.
I just think it's the time. I think it's the timing of it. I think it just doesn't have as much. And we talked about this, I think, on our last episode. It's just it doesn't quite have the history.
Right.
So it's a fairly new event when you consider, like, from a golf perspective. So I think it's that. It's just there's not as much fanfare there because it's not as history to an event.
No, I agree. So. All right, so we don't know what happened in the President's Cup. We are pretending that we know, but we don't know for a fact what's happening with the President's Cup. All right, so the story of Ralph Goodall. Do you know this story?
I had not heard this until you sent it to me.
All right, so the story of Ralph Goodall, you know, here at Stick and Hack, we're trying to bring the stories of golf to you, our members and our listeners, and the story of Ralph Goodall is one of those that has never really been told, and you don't know about it. You only know about the main people. So Ralph's career started in 1931 at the age of 20, and up until Jordan Spieth in 2013, he was the youngest player to win a PGA Tour event.
Yeah.
Okay? And then he finished second in the 1935 U.S. Open, and he had this storied career early, and then he decided to give golf a break. And you know what he said? Hey, I'm not going to golf anymore. I'm going to become what? A car salesman. He became a car salesman. Well, so, which is crazy.
I have an interesting story to add to this. So it reminds me actually of in my family, my grandfather was actually a professional golfer at one point. Until my grandmother told him, "You are not going to make any money doing this. You must quit." I'm serious.
Really?
This is a true story.
I didn't know this.
Yes, my grandfather was a pro golfer.
Wow.
But that's the thing. That's what reminds me of this. Like, back in that era, like, professional golf was, like, not a thing.
No.
It was not real.
They made $7,500
a year. It was literally, like, you talk about, like, Bobby Jones, all those type of guys. They had actual jobs.
Right.
So, yeah, my grandfather had to quit. He quit and started a painting business.
Wow. So this is you can relate to this.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
So
it's crazy.
So he decided to give golf a break. We're talking about Ralph Goodall, who's not Mike's grandfather. Ralph Goodall decided to give golf a break and became a car salesman. He came back after a year of doing that. He's like, "Oh, this sucks." So he went back to golf a year later.
Yep.
And he beat Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson in a 3-year span from 1937 to 1939. Goodall had finishes of second, first in the Masters. First, and seventh in the U.S. Open for possibly the greatest 3-year stretch, and this includes Tiger, the greatest 3-year stretch in major professional golf. Then he vanished. Done. Out. Because he was offered a writing contract in 1939 to write a book, a guide called Groove Your Golf, which is perhaps the dumbest title in the history of books. So no wonder it was a flop. Groove Your Golf.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was to show him hitting golf balls through stop motion photography.
Yep.
And as the story is
told, that's all they had back then.
Right, that is, yeah. As the story is told, when he studied the photographs of himself, he noticed a flaw in his swing. And like all sticks, he became a obsessed with that flaw.
With the flaw, yeah.
And with that issue. And he tried to correct it.
Yep.
And he lost his swing.
It happens.
Goodall decided to move on for good and retire in 1942. In just 3 years, he went from the greatest run in professional major golf history to not playing the game because he studied his swing so much and noticed a flaw and tried to correct it, and then he couldn't hit the ball.
There's so many people I know that's happened to. They get fixed on trying to perfect their swing as opposed to just trying to worry about, like, playing golf.
Right.
Right. And it can ruin you.
It did.
Like, clearly, yes. It absolutely ruined him.
It did. Think about that. Were you a professional golfer? I was. I was a professional golfer, and then I became a car salesman, and then I came back to it, and I lost my swing, and now I'm selling Model Ts again. So Ralph Goodall, that's an incredible story. And one for most golfers, if you are serious about the game, that's a lesson for you is to understand that perfection is not possible in the game of golf.
It's unattainable.
Unattainable. And the more you obsess about it, the worse things are going to get, right?
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of obsessed, we bring in Tyler Stewart, CEO of Golf Kicks. Tyler, welcome into the Stick and Hack Show.
Thanks, guys. How's it going?
Outstanding, sir. So you heard that story about Ralph Goodall, and you know, he was obsessed with his swing, but hopefully you have better outcome than Ralph. He retired 2 years after after that. You're obsessed with shoes. You're obsessed with your business. You are the CEO of Golf Kicks, and you started this about 18 months ago. You were in soccer. You had a blown ACL. You retired from soccer, and then you had the idea. You filed a provisional patent for Golf Kicks. You launched a Kickstarter campaign. You got on Shark Tank, and now you're here with us. That, sir, is a hell of an 18 months.
That's it, man. I don't know what I can say after that. That's the whole story. No, just kidding. Yeah, so I'm a normal guy. I have a day job. I'm in sales. Average golfer. I think the Swing U app says I'm a 13 or something, which might be a stretch. I usually only play 9 holes, but... Yeah, blew the ACL playing some old man soccer, and had been thinking about this for a while. I'd ordered several pairs of golf shoes. I had some old Puma Spikeless that were worn out and had been thinking about it. So when I blew the knee and I had some downtime, I was just like, let's do this. Let's try it. So kind of a napkin sketch on the provisional patent. And then when you do these things, you have to look really hard to prove yourself wrong. I was like, there's got to be something out there like this. And then, so I did a bunch of my own research and then put some real lawyers on it. I have another invention from the fly fishing industry called the sushi roll. That's kind of a rollable tackle box. So I had been through some of the patent stuff before. But then, yeah, it kind of took off. We started the Kickstarter campaign. But then people liked it. We definitely had some haters. We had, you know, those things will never stay in. Yeah. But we did the Kickstarter before we figured out how to make them, right? So I was pretty confident we could figure this out.
Is that normally how that works? Aren't you supposed to just double check?
Well, you see all sorts of, you see the whole range on there. You see companies that already have a brand, already have like a pair of pants, make $600,000 on Kickstarter, and they already have the product so they could ship it right away.
Yeah.
It took us 9 months to, you know, ship our product. We had to figure out how to get it made. I had a buddy who had done one for this like water bottle, and he just said, whenever you think you're going to deliver, like double it. And he was right. It takes forever.
Yeah.
So quickly run us through what it is. So Golf Kicks, from my understanding, and I've not been in any of your marketing meetings, so forgive me here. From my understanding, you're taking normal golf or normal shoes, potentially normal shoes, tennis shoes, athletic shoes, and turning them into golf shoes with the spikes that you can drill into the bottom of those shoes. And that eliminates the need for you to have to find golf shoes that you like. If you already have athletic shoes that you enjoy wearing and that fit great, you can turn those into golf shoes. Is that basically what it is?
Very accurate. Yeah. So this is one of our kits. I don't know.
It's good.
We got it.
Comes in a golf ball sleeve, and then we'll see if this can focus in. But this is our third generation of this traction. So. Yeah. It's metal now. It's kind of like if you've ever been ice fishing, it's like an ice auger shape that screws into the bottom of a shoe. And then we've got an overmolded, you know, similar to a golf soft spike on top. And this is our third version. So our first version that we shipped to Kickstarter backers was pretty rough. It was coming out. It was breaking. We had all sorts of challenges with it.
Yeah.
But it's only been 8 months and we're on the third version. So we've been iterating really fast. But back to what Adam was saying, you're exactly right. So the marketing material kind of says, turn any shoe into a golf shoe, right? That's the basic idea. It really works a lot better if you have a flat rubber sole. So you see some shoes that have, I actually have an example here I brought. This is some new Jordan. It's kind of ugly, but it's a Jordan flip-flop that I just brought in.
Yeah.
And I screwed in 7 of them. But yeah, the way, and this is kind of that soft, spongy foam, so it's not great, but it'll still work.
Yeah.
Ideally, you have what they call high carbon rubber, like, you know, feels like rubber, looks like rubber. This is a running shoe that has some rubber, some foam. And yeah, I've been using a drill because I have to do so many of these, but the kit comes with a little, it's not attached, it kind of looks like a screwdriver. and it's got a 5mm hex on it, goes right in. So you could walk up at a golf course. We don't sell these at golf courses yet. Screw it right in if you're traveling or whatever to the bottom of the pair of shoes and good to go.
Nice. So would it be fair to say that are you an inventor, an entrepreneur first, or are you just a hater of all golf shoes in the world?
Oh, you know, hater's strong, but, you know, it's one of those classic entrepreneur things where you see a problem and you go try to solve it. So I'm a normal dude, normal job. Now I'm doing this full time. My partner's doing it full time. But yeah, not a hater of golf shoes. Most of our customers, I have like some sweet FootJoy Classics, and most of our customers own a lot of golf shoes. We're not trying to come in and say like, throw out all your golf shoes, right?
Right.
Here we are, golf kicks, put them in Jordans. But it's been really fun. And I've had several tech companies and other entrepreneurial things in the past. This one almost started as kind of a silly idea, silly joke. And now I'm doing it full time.
Hey, Tyler, that's exactly how this thing started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's literally the same story.
Yeah.
The only difference is that we haven't been on Shark Tank quite yet. And let's go back to the sandal for just one second. I know that you kind of made fun of it, but in reality, even if you wanted to, you could utilize any type of shoe that you enjoy. And if the course will let you play in sandals, which some hacks would probably love, it's still viable. And that's, I think, the point of that, right?
Yeah.
So the traction, we actually had a kind of big name, I'm not going to name them, but kind of a big time company come in here the other day. And the traction these things provide is incredible. Like, you can put them on a flat soled shoe and they hold better than any golf shoe I've ever owned. So yeah. And we have people wearing them in flip flops. We have guys that are, you know, have 10 other pairs of golf shoes, but they buy a green pair of Chucks for the St. Paddy's Day tournament.
Right.
Whatever you want. The only time you don't really need them if you already have a ton of tread on your sole. So then, you know, you don't really need golf kicks. So because we need a flat area to put them. That's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have, you know, our biggest challenge is we don't know what kind of shoes somebody's put them in. So we have to guide people on what shoes work well. And then we don't know the skill level of the person. You know, can this person use a power tool, for example?
Nice.
So that's kind of the challenge.
That should be, hopefully you put that on the box.
Yeah.
Liability. We got all sorts of that.
So Tyler, you were on Shark Tank and now you're on the Stick and Hack Show. I mean, would you say your life is pretty close to complete now, or?
I think we're going to probably get more exposure out of this than the Shark Tank.
I agree. Yeah. I don't know why. Why are you laughing, Mike?
Someday.
Yeah, when this
might someday. It ain't going to be in the next month.
Don't tell him that.
This is really,
it's fine.
This is really fun. We love what you guys are doing. The Shark Tank thing, you know, like I said, started as kind of a joke. I got a call from a woman named Erica. She says, "Hey, Tyler, this is Erica from the Shark Tank." And I thought it was one of my friends prank calling me. Like, come on, who is this?
Yeah.
This was like 3 months into when we actually had product in the market. And her boyfriend had seen us on Instagram and was like, "Honey, you got to get these guys on the show." So at first we thought they were prank calling us. And then we went through all of their steps, went out there and filmed in LA. It was really fun. The Sharks, all the staff, very professional, very cool. So it was a great experience. Ton of fun.
Well, when we had started talking to you, cause I had the exact same experience. I saw you on Instagram, or actually somebody told me about you.
Yeah.
Somebody told us about you guys. And then I looked at you up on Instagram. I think I found your information, reached out to you. This is well before the Shark Tank experience. And you said at that point, "Hey, I can't be on the show now. Give me a few months while I get through some things." And I guess that was code for, because then I'm watching Shark Tank, I'm like, holy cow, that's my boy Tyler right there on the screen. And so that,
nice.
I guess that's what you needed to get through was that process. So give us a little peek behind the curtain there, because I'm sure people are fascinated with that. And we all watch it. We all, especially entrepreneurs and anybody in business, it is an incredible concept that has helped thousands or hundreds of companies, and if not thousands of entrepreneurs, just know that they can do it. What was your experience like, and give us a little peek behind the curtain of what you can say past the NDA?
Sure. Sure, sure. Yeah, so it was really fun. So there's a bunch of stuff leading up to it. They do a very, you know, they have a screening process, of course, because they don't want to throw you on a big national TV show and then have you embarrass them or yourself.
Right.
So they're trying to make great TV. We went out there. We were nervous at first. My partner, Krosky, he's going to be okay with me throwing him under the bus. But when we were doing our pitch and stuff, I had been pitching investors a bunch out in California. And really, we could tell our business story pretty well. But Krosky was so bad at, like, talking about the things. I was like, all right, we got to get acting lessons.
Sounds like
so
me.
We hired some ladies. There were these ladies. They're like theater coaches here in Denver. I'm in Denver right now.
Yeah.
And we signed up for some very expensive three, like, one-on-one acting lessons. And then we went to these things, and they were like, you're yelling at us. They were like, calm down. It's supposed to be like a conversation. They're like, stop yelling. But then when we got to the Shark Tank, you need to project a lot because they're sitting pretty far away from you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Krosky got better than me at the pitch. So then I was like, oh, no, now I'm the bad one. But by the time we went out there, we had rehearsed it, 50, 100 times. So we had it kind of on automatic. And then we practiced driving the golf cart in. They were nervous about that. I thought I was going to try to get – I got a buddy who does, like, props out in L.A., and I was trying to secure a golf cart, like, on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Finally, they were like, we got you. We got one on, Sony Studios. We can loan you a golf cart.
Right.
Sign here. And then Krosky practiced driving it. They're like, we can't have you, like, floor it and run into the sharks, right? So we had to stop, and then you hit your mark, and – but it was all really fun. We'd never done anything like that. And then the actual, we get out there, we're in there for like an hour. And I kind of had that, if you've ever seen Old School, the debate scene where he just kind of spews it all out and blacks out. That's what it felt like. Afterwards, I asked Krosky, I was like, how long were we in there? It seemed like 5 minutes. It was like an hour. So it was cool. And then
You're in there for an hour. Yeah. What? Because they obviously they chop it down, and I think most people might want us to chop this show down. But if you're in there for an hour, and they chop it down, what else is happening outside of the pitch and the back and forth questions? I mean, is it a legitimate grilling of your business at that point?
It is. They operate like, so they're making great TV, but then they operate like a VC. So it is a legitimate back and forth business deep dive into what you're doing. I mean, an hour would be short for a VC meeting, but they're digging in, and they were very friendly, very professional, but you have to know your stuff. And then you sit around for a couple months afterwards not knowing what they're going to edit and put on TV.
Yeah.
And you're like, who knows what they're going to make us look like. What they actually aired, which, made us look pretty good. It's been well received. But it made it look like we did like zero negotiating, like just kind of laid down and took the deal.
Right.
So our investors are like, was it really that short? And I'm like, no, my God, we were in there for an hour.
Yeah. Mark Cuban talks and you're like, yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
So you ended up getting a deal. You ended up getting a deal with Mark Cuban, which was really exciting and great. And I didn't know the outcome when I watched the show, because you guys aren't really allowed to say anything until the show airs. And I'm sure probably sometime afterwards, correct?
Exactly right. So yeah, and it was cool. Cuban was great. He's a non-golfer, so walking in there, they tell you who your sharks are going to be. I think I can say all this stuff. And we had Matt Higgins. He's a big sports guy. Jets, Dolphins. He's really cool. But yeah, we didn't even have Cuban. We knew who he was, obviously, but there's a story, we watched some old golf-related Shark Tank episodes where he's been a member at Dallas Country Club for 10 years, and he hasn't been there once.
Shocking. That's shocking.
Oh, my God.
And so we just kind of chalked him up, like, he's a no, right? He doesn't like golf. So it was crazy that he's the one we get to deal with. And we didn't really know Lori was a golfer. And Barbara wasn't on our shark board, or she wasn't one of our sharks, but there were some old ones where she doesn't like golf. Anyway, so we didn't really know going in who the target was, and that's how it ended up.
That's awesome.
Well, do you feel that when you and obviously you can say this because it's on, it was on the show, but Mark Cuban, when he did invest, I mean, was that that euphoric moment? And it looks like it all happens very quickly, right? But was that that euphoric moment where you're like, okay, now we're legitimate. Now we are, this is happening now. Or was it just another long line of people that that were interested in the product and want to be part of your company?
Well, we knew early on, so we didn't really know after the Kickstarter. It was so small. We still had plenty of haters. We weren't positive if we could get the thing made. But yeah, as we iterated on the product, you know, it got closer and closer to like, this thing is going to work, right?
Yeah.
There's enough people, and even the haters are still passionate about it. And we've turned some of them around, but yeah, there's enough people that want this. Like I, for example, I walked into a golf course in South Denver, nice course, and the pro there was an older lady, and she was like, she saw my hat. She says, what's golf kicks? I said, it's a set of spikes, put them into any shoe, turns them into a golf shoe. And she was like, oh my God, we got to get those in the store. I hate golf shoes, right? And everybody has their reason. Some of it's style, some of it's orthopedic needs. They don't fit. We've got a bunch of like ex-NBA guys and pro athletes that wear size 18s.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
So we knew like, all right, we got something here. We just got to make the product right. But then the Shark Tank was, yeah, where it kind of went national. I mean, we're still small. We're still ironing out supply chain and learning. We've had product in the market about 8 months. So we've got all your standard startup headaches. And hopefully we're going to not make too many people mad for Christmas this year. But I think we're shipping right now and everything's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the fact that you guys are taking an iterative approach to it. It's cool to see that you can kind of learn from, you know, one version of the product to another, and make it better. But I, you know, one of the things I think that's probably fueling, the popularity is kind of you're starting to see fashion in golf is becoming more of a thing. I think I think a lot of it has to do with so many more, there are a lot more high profile professional athletes that are starting to be interested in golf, and people realize that they play golf, and the kind of the fashion piece of that is coming into it.
Curry and Romo and those guys.
Yeah. Do you think that's definitely something that's played into your guys' success? And as you guys move forward, do you think that's probably something that's going to help fuel it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, golf shoes are ugly whole line. Now you got a lot of options now. I mean, Jordan makes sweet golf shoes, but they do limited releases and they cost like a grand.
Exactly.
By the time you get them on StockX. So,
oh my God. $1,000 for golf shoes.
Yeah.
Right.
No way.
So So that's all part of the fun. And I think that does help.
Yeah.
To your point, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you guys trying to help that trend of fashion along? Are you trying to say, look, these, you can be fashionable and athletic and functional all at the same time? Is that kind of the point, or is the point just to make things easier for golfers to not have to spend money over and over again on golf shoes?
You know, I mean, part of the original thinking was save money, but it really so far has not been a big part of it. I'd say most of our customers are putting these in very expensive Jordans, and there's all sorts of differences. I'm learning a lot about being a sneakerhead, which I wasn't before.
Right.
And so, it's like, let me be cooler than the other people in my foursome, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of that.
Yeah.
Or let me be different. So right. We love to say, here it is, make what you want of it.
Yeah.
And we get crazy people sending in. I mean, we have guys do a pair of some redneck down south did some camo Crocs, right?
Yeah.
And we've had awesome people put them in cowboy boots, like we said. Like, that's real. We said that up in Shark Tank, but that really happened.
Look, we need, if you can get back in touch with those people, we need them as Stick and Hack members more than anybody in America. I can tell you that right now.
Yes.
That is a hack mentality if I've ever heard it. Tyler Stewart is our guest, CEO of Golf Kicks. Tyler, what is your favorite part of your story so far?
Oh man, I just like seeing it as kind of the inventor taking the idea. You know, the idea part's pretty easy, but we've put in a lot of hard work, even though it's been a short period of time, and seeing it out there. So the other day, here's an example. We went, this is kind of before we got the bad weather in Denver, to our local Muni where we go all the time, Overland Park. We pulled up, we had a magnet on the side of our truck, said Golf Kicks, and this dude pulls up in another truck And he's like, no way. I didn't know you guys were in Denver. And he reached in the back of his pickup and took out a pair of shoes. I think they were like Reebok something. Yeah. And he held them up and he had golf kicks in. And we were like, whoa. And that was the first time I randomly saw somebody else using the product.
Yeah.
And he had the version 2s, and I was like,
that's awesome.
Sorry about that. We'll hook you up with the new version.
that's great. Yeah, that's your defining moment, really, as any entrepreneur or any builder of a company where you see somebody that is not your family or friend with your product or your brand on or the hat, something like that. That's where you realize, okay, this is real, and this is something pretty exciting. Well, Tyler, you know, it's an incredible story, and it's fun to watch young companies that are in golf that are trying to change the way people have been doing something forever in this game. There's not a lot of inventions. There's not a lot of next steps in the game of golf outside of technology of clubs. We've been doing the same thing the same way for 100 years. So it's exciting to see that happen. Is there anything on your agenda with your company where you say, look, it's not just this, because you were talking about the traction, right? So maybe it's not just golf. Is this going to have an iteration of other sports, of other things that for the normal everyday person could utilize golf kicks for?
Absolutely. So we've really figured out in this third version how to anchor it into the shoe. Like, excuse me, I did a lap yesterday. I'm not really a runner, but I took these. These are just my normal running like gym shoes because we've been exploring. And we talked about it on Shark Tank. Let's do a multi-sport cleat, soccer, rugby, intramural college, people like drinking beers and playing ultimate frisbee.
Yeah.
We've had a ton of requests for like gardeners, like mowing their lawn on a hill, crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Professional paintballers. So I think we're going to do this same anchor.
Hold on a second, Tyler. Let's just take a step back, baby. We went from a gardener to a professional paintballer. Let's talk about that.
Well, I'm pretty sure I've got a guy wearing these in Germany who's a professional paintballer.
That's
and
awesome.
I don't even know what that is.
I didn't even know that was a thing, but
there we go.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Anyway, we'll do like a multi-sport stud next, and this anchor, it's part of my little run, my rare run yesterday was – you know, let me see if I can pivot on this thing. And it was frozen, icy conditions.
Yeah.
And they stayed in great. So we'll put a little stud on it. And that product will be a different brand name, probably, you know, available at retail stores. We'll take it into other sports for sure.
That's awesome. So one final kind of question here, Tyler. So you are a new member of Stick and Hack. You know, what would you like us to do to make your life better?
I love what you guys are doing. And, you know, before we went on air, you guys mentioned kind of this Tinder for golfers things.
Whoa.
You didn't use those words.
Whoa, Tyler.
You didn't call it that.
Yes.
But I think, you know,
that's where we're going. We're absolutely going there now. That is where we're going with this.
If I roll into Indianapolis, whatever, I'll call you guys now.
That's
but,
right.
Want to go out and play nine holes or I don't want to go with that person, but I need to know where to go or whatever.
Right.
That's really cool.
Right.
I don't know anything
about
that.
Yep. Well, we appreciate your support, Tyler, and best of luck to you, man. It's been great talking to you. I'm glad that you stuck in this over the months of us trying to get this figured out. Your company is really, really fun to watch the growth and what's happening with it. Congratulations, of course, on the Shark Tank investment. And you can learn more at golfkicks.com. Follow them at golfkicks.co on Instagram. You guys have an incredible social presence and just continued success, Tyler. Tyler Stewart, CEO of Golf Kicks. Thanks for being on the Stick and Hack Show.
Right on. Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right,
thanks,
there
Tyler.
He goes. Tyler Stewart, CEO of Golf Kicks. What a cool product, huh?
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm interested to see how their success continues as they move forward.
Yeah, no, and it's just good to see new products and new innovations come into the golf and just a good dude. And selfishly, you know, as young entrepreneurs and ourselves and in this space, hearing that Shark Tank stuff, an hour.
I know.
In that room, which I did not realize.
The prep for that, I'm sure, had to be incredibly stressful.
Right. More than you do for this show, I would assume.
That didn't take much.
All right. Let's just see, big boy. Okay. Let's see how good you really are. All right.
No,
so you're the Stick and Hack Show. This is the new segment called Stick and Hack Jeopardy.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to turn this over.
Do I have to answer these as questions?
I don't. Yeah, it's Jeopardy.
You didn't think about it that way.
No, I didn't. I had no idea.
I knew you didn't think that.
No, I didn't. I just called it Jeopardy because it's a question. No, in fact, these are actual questions that have appeared on Jeopardy for golf.
All right.
Okay? These are actual questions that appeared on Jeopardy. So you can answer them however you want.
Okay.
Let's just see if you get them right, okay?
All right.
Now, this is not in any way to embarrass you here, but if we happen to, that wouldn't be the worst thing.
That's a complete lie. That's exactly the point of this.
All right. Stick and Hack Jeopardy with the stick, Mike Ryan. And here we go. Do we have intro music, Producer Shane? Do we have anything?
No.
Okay. Good God.
What was that?
I don't know. I think he's having a stroke.
I think
are you smelling toast?
He did have a stroke.
All right, here we go. Slogan created in 1921. Hold on. I got to take a second.
I can't even take that. What was that? I'm so thrown off now. I can't even do it.
Oh, my God. What a disaster. Amateur hour. Thank God Tyler Stewart's no longer on this call.
Man.
All right. Slogan created in 1921 when a pal of an R.J. Reynolds ad man ran out of cigarettes on a golf course. The slogan created in 1921 when a pal of an R.J. Reynolds ad man ran out of cigarettes on a golf course. What was the slogan? You have 5 seconds. It's called Fast Five Jeopardy.
For Marlboro, I'm assuming?
Yeah, R.J. Reynolds. Yeah.
Hell, I don't know.
I'd walk a mile. Okay. All right. Just relax. This isn't a health quiz. I'd walk a mile for a camel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
I like that.
I'd walk a mile for a camel, which now that I think about it.
I would never have known that.
Yeah. Right. Obviously.
Yeah.
Clearly. All right. Here we go. What term for unidentified aircraft or missile is also used on a golf course? Stick and Hack Jeopardy. What term for unidentified aircraft or missile is also used on a golf course?
Bogey.
Boom. He got there.
Yes.
1 for 2. Woo. Congratulations. Question 3, Stick and Hack Jeopardy with Mike Ryan. Tiny, sharp teeth give this plant its name, also an elite Florida golf course.
Venus flytrap.
Yeah. That's it. It's a very famous golf
Venus
course
sand trap
in Ocala.
I don't know.
Muni course in Ocala for $13.
It's a
you
plant
can play
with teeth.
36 holes.
A plant with teeth?
Right, sawgrass.
Oh. All
right. You're really upset with yourself.
Man.
All right, here, question 4.
I don't think of grass having teeth.
I don't, me either. It's tiny, sharp teeth.
That's
give
odd.
this plant its name.
Okay.
And so the plant is sawgrass.
Okay.
I guess.
I got to look that up. I'm going to have to Google that now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was real.
I did. That's where this came from.
Good job.
You think this came from my mind?
Glad one of us know how to use that thing.
All right. Stretcher bearer is a slang expression for one of these golf helpers. Stretcher bearer is a slang expression for one of these golf helpers. Stick and Hack Jeopardy.
Stretcher bearer?
Yeah.
I have never heard that term in my life. I'm going to guess.
Yeah, go ahead. Golf helper.
Caddy?
Boom. Yes.
Okay.
Context clues. That's what I teach
my
kids.
That's right.
Really, just don't focus in on the question.
That's how I passed the SAT.
Yeah, I didn't pass the SAT. So you got one up on me. Golfers know it means to lay the club behind the ball in preparation to hit it, not mail it.
Now say that. Repeat that.
Exactly. So think about this in Jeopardy terms and how
I feel like
they
this
do
is
their
a math problem.
Well, yeah. Golfers, if you leave your house at 8 a.m. on a train heading west. Golfers know it means to lay the club behind the ball in preparation to hit it, not mail it.
Address.
There we go.
And clearly, Patrick Reed doesn't know what that means either.
That is correct.
I had
correct,
to get that
sir.
In there. I had to get Patrick Reed in there somehow.
Yeah, he's the villain.
He is the villain this week.
Well, that was good.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Thank you. I did way better than I thought I would.
Yeah. I think collective nation says the
same
thing.
It was like 50%. I think I'm batting 500.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I can't do it. I have no idea. I can't remember
we didn't keep
how
stats.
Many you got right. No.
I thought you liked
Producer
to keep
Shane's
stats.
Still singing some ridiculous song in the background. Jesus. All right, go to stickandhack.com. Read the stories of golf, Corner Office, Diary of a Hack, as well as Stick Stance is some tips on the YouTube channel on how you become a better golfer in the most sarcastic way possible. Join a free membership and become a part of the world's greatest golf club without the course at stickandhack.com. Mike, congratulations. Great show. Tyler Stewart from Golf Kicks. Go to golfkicks.com.
Awesome.
All right, boys. See you later.
Peace out, guys.
The Stick and Hack Show is now over. Subscribe, rate, comment, and tell your friends. You are now free to go about your day.